think the gang's all here.
Okay, we'll call the meeting back to order. We are now going to take testimony from those in opposition. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1991 Cool Spring LLC Highway 1? Yes, ma'am, in the front right here. And then you're next up over here. Okay.
I'm Trudy Bellotti, and I live on 22988 Lawson Road.
Okay.
In Georgetown, okay. Approximately 30 feet off of that farm.
Okay.
And if my voice breaks up, I had open heart surgery, so it will
just
break.
Take your time, deep breaths, it's fine.
Thank
just
you.
Relax.
If I may, can I pass this to you?
You can pass it if you would give it to our counsel over here, and he'll pass it to us.
You already have copies of that in your file, but you may not have had an opportunity to look at it.
Okay.
And I happen to have the one with the cemetery with me. That cemetery was cleaned up last week. I have pictures of it with the stones broken on the ground, disgusting. And I'll be happy to supply them to you if you would like to have them. Also, the pictures that I gave to him are pictures of our camper on the road in front of our home. So you can see how wide the road actually is. That day, there was actually a Del Dot truck trying to get past as we were moving out with the camper, and he couldn't. So you'll see those. I'm actually going to cut mine short because we have some environmental people. And a couple of them have lengthy things to tell you, and they're much more important than mine. I'll just share a little bit of our neighborhood with you. The purpose of this correspondence is to share our concerns related to the conditional use being considered for M&M Farms, LLC, and Cool Spring, LLC. I was concerned before, but after listening to this, I'm petrified. Agriculture is defined by the Farmland Assessment Act of 1968, Delaware, or by the National Agricultural Statistics Service of 1968, as all forms of farming, including but not limited to agriculture, horticulture, forestry, aquaculture, or silviculture. Our region is classified as agricultural residential, which means residents live in an area where farmers and homeowners respect the lifestyle of each other. When we moved to Delaware 7 years ago, we developed a great appreciation of the quiet atmosphere and the wonderful open spaces. This tranquil lifestyle will be violated with the proposed land use. The five described yearly events with the accompanying daily vehicles will dramatically impact on our quality of life. This area cannot handle the impact of that number. When considering the noise, the trash, traffic flows, temporary population, camping, RVs, tents, campfires, grilling, food preparation, sanitary conditions, criminal activities, trespassing, water facilities, medical facilities, it's clear that this region cannot handle the impact of this event. Also of concern will be the ability for police, fire, and emergency service to respond to any difficulties. While the tenant proposes assurance on the land to be used, what provisions have been made for the neighboring properties? What insurances will be provided to the surrounding properties, such as trespassing, damage, parking, locked driveways, disorderly conduct, crime, damage, theft? Insurance should be secured for the benefit of all potentially affected residences. A recommendation of at least $100 million to be held in escrow for the duration of the contract. The applicant has stated there's an alternative venue for the project, the fairgrounds at Harrington. I wish he would go there. We ask that you hear what we have to say and follow the zoning consistency standard for the use permit, that being, to obtain a use permit, the applicant must generally show that the contemplated use is compatible with the policies in terms of the zoning ordinances, and that such use would be essential or desirable to the public convenience or welfare, and will not impair the integrity and character of the zoned district or be detrimental to the public health, safety, morals, or welfare. And that's O'Hagan versus Board of Zoning Adjustment, 1971. I would like to invite each one of you at any given time to visit us at our home and see where this venue is going to be held. That stage is going to be right across from my driveway, right next to that cemetery, by the way, as you'll see in that diagram. I thank you for your time and your consideration.
Yes, ma'am, thank you. And
can I ask a question?
Yes, sir, yeah.
Yes. Your photographs relate to Lawson Road, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much. Okay, over here there was a hand in the back I said could be next. Lady, blonde lady. Yeah, that was it. Yep.
You're okay.
She wants
okay.
The environmental person.
Very well. Very well. That's fine. Who's next? Where's the environmental person?
I'm the environmental person.
Would you like to speak next? Because it seems like there's some demand for you.
Well, this gentleman's walking up, too, just again for the benefit of the folks here tonight. I can assure you that all the commissioners, they do drive by and inspect the site. And on this application and every application that comes before the Planning and Zoning Commission, so I don't want there to be any assumptions that these gentlemen aren't familiar with the site or the roadways around it, because they do take their jobs really seriously and do inspect the sites to get familiar with them so that they know what it is that you're talking about and what they're acting on. So.
In fact, I will share with you that I was there to see what it looked like in adverse weather conditions about 4:30 this afternoon, and it was pretty adverse because of all the rain was really raining. But all of us have been to the site and have and know where it is and have seen it. So anyway, go ahead, sir. Thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Gary Simone. I reside in the community of Independence, about a mile and a half from the venue.
Yes, sir.
I was responsible before my retirement. Responsible for environmental health and safety programs for a multinational pharmaceutical company, and decided to come to Delaware for the environment and for the tranquility that it provides. A brief summary of my background and my qualifications and experience is in the comments that I believe you all have received. Thank you for the opportunity to provide the input to your process. I hope that my comments tonight help you in your decision-making process. I'm going to confine my comments strictly to the environmental aspects of the proposed project. Simply state that sufficient information to evaluate the potential environmental impacts just simply is not available in the public record. Whether it's not been conducted or not been addressed, whatever it might be, it's not simply not there to evaluate on a factual basis. My understanding of the proposed project is that it's going to encompass approximately 500 to 1,000 acres in currently zoned AR region within Harbison, Delaware, and that it involves a number of activities, including the following: tree removal, regrading and disturbance of land and vegetative cover, construction of internal road systems and parking areas, erection of temporary structures, conduct of events during peak hours, several days in duration, and with setup and takedown time periods of a couple of weeks, and introduction of significant traffic to a rural area. Let me say a few words about environmental risk assessments. Given the general geography and topography of the venue, each one of the proposed actions that I just mentioned will have, on their own or in concert with each other, an impact on the surrounding environment, natural resources, and ecological systems of the area. More specifically, the potential impacts and risks to the environment and natural resources include, but are not limited to, 1, drawdown and recharge of groundwater and drinking water supplies. Note that there are several protected wellheads in the area that provide drinking water to the local communities. 2, water quality in the wetlands and other natural habitats will be impacted due to additional nutrient and pollutant loadings to waters of the state. Stormwater runoff, as you just mentioned, and drainage will create unacceptable conditions in an already flood-prone area. Impacts to potentially endangered or threatened species have yet to be identified or accounted for that may live in the area. 5, air quality will likely be impacted due to the traffic, high traffic volumes, generators that will be present to provide electricity, I assume, and dust created at the venue. 6, public health is a major concern. How will electricity demands, drinking water supply, trash removal, and sanitary sewage management be handled? 7, noise will also be an issue. Section 12 of the lease states that the applicant shall, quote, peaceably and quietly have, hold, and enjoy, unquote, the property. 8, pest and insect infestation could be a major concern. 9, impacts to potential historical and archaeological structures have yet to be defined. Given the potential environmental impacts and very real impacts of traffic volumes and public safety, as will be discussed by others, everyone should know and understand, at least on a preliminary basis, what the potential risks are, environmental risks are, that are posed by rezoning the venue. There simply has been no data generated to address these potential impacts. State and county authorities to whom I have spoken have no record of an ERA, environmental risk assessment, associated with this project having been conducted or reviewed. If it has been conducted, it has not yet been made public for our review. The Sussex County Comprehensive Plan contains numerous references to maintaining the natural resources and environmental integrity of Delaware. Any decision to rezone this area should be consistent, and I'm sure you fellows have the best interest of everyone at heart, should be consistent with the provisions of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. I do have a couple of recommendations that I'd like to put before you. We respectfully request that the Commission consider and accept the following recommendations before making its final decision on this application. 1, require the applicant to conduct a formal environmental risk assessment at the applicant's expense to identify, define, and quantify potential environmental impacts posed by the development of this property. 2, immediately make the results of the ARA and any other information associated with the environmental aspects of the project available to the public. 3, require the applicant to propose appropriate and adequate environmental monitoring, prevention, and contingency measures resulting from the ERA at the applicant's expense. And 4, require the applicant to obtain, at the applicant's expense, appropriate and adequate instruments such as bonds, insurance, etc., to guarantee financial responsibility to monitor, mitigate, and/or remediate any harm caused by the proposed activities on the environment or on the local residents. In conclusion, I appreciate the difficult job the Commission has to balance everyone's interests. I'm confident that when all of the factors discussed here tonight have been weighed and considered, the Commission will recognize that the potential adverse effects to the environment and the quality of life currently enjoyed by the people of the area far outweigh the benefits of rezoning this venue. I again respectfully request that the Commission deny the application to rezone the venue, and which is under consideration, and I thank you again for the opportunity to provide input to your process.
All right, so we thank you. Had that been previously submitted, that your comments there?
Yes, yeah, it's part of the record.
So they're in the record.
It is.
Okay. I just wanted to, for Mr. Lank's note-keeping purposes, no, make sure we have it.
I've got extra copies for you.
Huh?
I'm trying to keep it.
I understand.
Yeah, it's in the package.
It's in the package.
Okay, very good. All right, sir. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Okay. Yes, sir. Yep, you're next.
And these are already in the package, okay. but just in case you don't have them readily available.
If you would hand them to our counsel, and he'll pass them down to us. Thank you.
Well, he's handing those up again just for clarification. Anything that's submitted into the record that was in the file, that'll be part of the record for the proceedings tonight, too. So if you've sent a letter, don't worry. It's part of the record of the commission and also counsel.
Yes, sir. My name is Willie Nelson. Don't sing. I'm the president. I hit it before you did, sir. Okay.
So you know me by reputation? Is that what you're trying
to say? Just a little bit, sir. Okay. I'm president of Avalon Woods Owners Association, and I'm also Chief Master Sergeant, Air Force, retired.
Thank you for your service.
I thank you for letting me speak to you. I want me to wait until you guys are done with handing those out. Avalon Woods is a restricted community which is located directly across from the proposed conditional use site. We are technically at ground zero, as one of the main entrances that he's proposing is 540 feet from our entrance to our community. We are the largest community in the immediate area, with 129 parcels that would be directly impacted by the proposal, and there are several other communities along with private property owners that would be seriously impacted if this conditional use were approved. There are four main issues that I'd like to address. First and foremost is access for emergency services. As you've seen from previous photo submissions and everything, the size of some of the trucks that would be coming down there for to support this venue, trash removal, et cetera, versus campers and fire trucks or emergency response vehicles. There's not going to be enough room on those roads. Ingress, egress from our community and many of the surrounding communities within a 5-mile radius could possibly be gridlocked. DelDOT, Emergency Operations Center, nor the state police currently have plans developed for this area, specifically for this area, based on the proposed events described in the lease for this conditional use proposal. Avalon Woods has a diversified population of approximately 250 individuals. Most are permanent residents in there, but we do have part-time residents that come down for the summer or intermittently during the year. There are elderly, there are working families, and there are school-age children. DART is used on a daily basis for the elderly and disabled. During school season, main entrance to our community is the only pickup and drop-off point for school buses. Due to the size of the community and the populace of the surrounding communities and private residents from the surrounding area within a 2-mile radius, emergency services and Delaware State Police respond on an average of 5 times a week, and these records are available at the Emergency Operations Center. Exact response times or response information for Delaware State Police is a FOIA request, so we did not get those statistics yet. Our second concern is security. Mr. Pyers and his attorney has specified that they're going to put fencing around that entire complex, okay? That's to keep us from coming in. That's specifically what he said. What's to prevent people from coming out into our community? So security is a great concern to us. I mean, you get a bunch of rowdy campers in there and stuff like that. We are very concerned. Our surrounding communities, our community and surrounding communities are classified as restricted access or closed access communities. However, we do not have any gates or secured entrances to that aspect. We are asking, because this is the way we understand it, we are asking who will pay for security services when event attendees enter our private communities or private residences for criminal purposes. The proposed events listed in the leases will definitely increase crime in the area, and we believe we are in direct violation of the county comprehensive plan for rural communities, specifically regarding our safety and convenience and the well-being of our communities, as well as the protection of the AR agricultural lands. We also want to address the protection of the public community wellheads for Avalon Woods. In your package there, where there's a map, it's a county map, showing the exact location of our protected wellhead number one. And that does spill over into the Baker property. We have taken several precautionary matters to protect our community water supply, and have even applied for a Homeland Security grant for additional security measures, but this will take some time for it to process. Our main well system is a protected well system, and is designated by both the county and the state, and is tested on a continual basis. And to all of our records and everything have indicated that we have a very, very safe water supply system. If you drove by, if you were on Avalon Road and took a look, one of our wellhead systems is sitting almost on, directly across from that property. Because of this, not only does this matter relate to security, we believe that it would require an environmental impact survey as it pertains to the protection of our wellheads. In reviewing the application, there are currently no documents to prove that any of this is taking place. All boundary roads in the area are classified as local and not designed for planned use based on the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. Additional details regarding traffic concerns will be provided by Peter Lusick in his briefing. Fourth are the environmental matters. Is an environmental impact survey or analysis being completed? This has already been addressed, so I can kind of skip most of that. But what we are concerned about is the one of the things we're concerned about is the local impact on endangered species that are in the area. As you can see in that package, there's pictures of bald eagles that are directly on the Baker Farm area. That brings in a whole other matter. We refer this entire matter with respect to the Love Creek Campground Proposal, CU-1951, and all the documentation that was associated with that plan. We will not present all of the matters that were related to the proposed CU-1991 plan versus CU-1951 that was disapproved by the county, as we believed it was the responsibility of the Planning and Zoning Commission to review the documents and compare those matters. The citizens of Avalon Woods Owners Association request that this proposal be denied because the conditional use application is not in accordance with the comprehensive plan and does not promote the health, safety, morale, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the residents of the Avalon Woods community. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, who's next? Yes, ma'am. Okay. You're next, and then, sir, you will be next, okay?
My name is Nikki Zangwill. I'm a resident of Independence and a new resident of Delaware. So I don't have any prepared comments, but I do have some concerns, probably because I'm not quite as familiar with your process as I was with the state of Maryland.
Okay.
But a little of my background, I'm a retired federal contracting officer, and for more than 32 years, I have dealt in the world where I helped to develop federal government requirements before they were put out for proposals, leading to our contract awards. I tell you this because I look at this application as a request for a proposal, and yet I don't see a very well-defined statement of work, which gives me concern because I'm afraid that your approval of this conditional use request might result in a contract, if you will, that may not be as well-defined as we as residents would hope it would be. The first thing that I see as I look at the talking points from Highway 1 was that most of these points address the Country Music Festival. All of the statistics that I see on this page relate to the number of attendees, the number of campers versus day passes, low impact, traffic impact. I think other people have been addressing and will continue to do so. But I am concerned that there is a very large number of acres and that we seem to be speaking in a venue where over and over again it's repeated that 20,000 attendees would be a very large number for Country Music Festival. And while I cannot dispute that, I don't have the background for it. I am concerned that the number of acres will allow for potential growth that would far exceed that. And there was discussion earlier this evening as to how would that be addressed as far as the number of campsites in the future, which leads me to some other concerns. There are a lot of discussions that seem to be fluid right now with DLDOT So I'm a little concerned. Are we a little bit too early in the process to be coming here and asking for this use until more things are finite? The other thing that concerns me is, one, if this is approved and the number of campsites were to grow, it appears from what I've heard this evening that this is all up to the fire marshal, that they're going to approve this. In other words, will Highway 1 come back for a second approval? Would the conditional use have those types of requirements on it so that if there were to be anticipated growth in the future, they would have to come back here again, or would they just be out of your purview altogether? So that's a concern.
I can answer that. If the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval and they put conditions on it and County Council approved the ordinance to allow this to go forward, what would have to happen, and there's a lot of steps and a lot of things that would have to occur for those approvals to happen, but if they were to happen, ultimately the applicant would have to come back in with the final site plan showing every last detail on it. So if the venues were to
grow from more than 20,000 that they're stipulating here, which would ultimately most likely cause growth in the number of campers in it as well, and all of the other pending trash, et cetera, that goes with it, then they do have to come back to you?
Well, it's going to depend on if it gets approved and what gets approved and what the site plan looks like with any conditions on it. So,
okay. Where they speak to no more than 5 events in a 12-month period, then I'm assuming that would be something that they would have to come back to. One of the things in here that it specifies is that only one of the music events has to be country music. There is no mention of what other type of musical event might be in the plans or could happen now or in the future. So, again, maybe that's not something we want here. There's just a lot of vagaries in my mind. I'm very concerned about those types of things, and I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to express them.
Okay, well, we thank you for doing so.
Could I get your name again? I missed it.
Nikki Zangwill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, sir, you're next.
I have a hand up.
If you would give that to our attorney.
This has already been submitted.
Okay.
He'll pass it down to us.
Thank you.
That's as much to make it easy for you to hand it to one person as it is for him to look at it. So. But sometimes he needs to look, sometimes he doesn't, but he's always the passer.
Okay, my name is Peter Lusick. I'm one of those independence residents that everybody's been talking about.
Okay.
I spend a lot of money at all the cities. I mean, we really spend a lot of money. So everybody's talking about economic impact. We are, in fact, we go out to dinner 5-6 times a week, so does most of our neighbors. So there is a lot of money generated by houses moving in. So I just wanted to point that out before I get started. Now, my response is to traffic. My background is I have a master's degree in business administration, and I also have a master's degree in computer science. And I've done 20 years of network traffic simulation modeling for networks, so I've got a keen interest on how traffic works and how things flow and how pipes clog up, roads clog up, and things like that. So I took a very keen interest on this. I've already met with DelDOT 3 times already, so I'm just starting to get a pretty good understanding of how the process works. So my comments are based on that. I've talked to the people at Avalon Woods, the homeowners, the folks in Independence, of course, and all the other folks around in the area. And they just have a lot of questions. Right now they're scared. They see a potentially big commercial operation coming in. They had questions like how many attendees and vehicles per day. We're starting to get a little better picture of that, and I think you gentlemen are too. They're concerned about access to police and fire emergencies if the roads are blocked or clogged. They're concerned about how their children are going to access the school buses. Several of the main entrances are 540 feet away from a school bus stop. That's the main school bus stop for Woolley's Avalon Woods. They're also concerned, are there going to be abandoned vehicles? Usually that's the norm. If people want to sneak into a music festival, they abandon their vehicle. going through the woods, and there is a lot of woods there, as was pointed out, and I think it's going to be fairly easy for folks to sneak in. Another thing we're concerned about is oversized farm vehicles. Twice in the last week, I was on Zor Road. I had to pull over because there's a huge farm vehicle coming. I mean, if you have a large vehicle or a large truck or an RV, they're not going to be able to go back and forth. And we're also concerned about the roads, which I'll discuss a little bit more. I think we're starting to get a better idea on the volume of traffic for the 5 planned events. One of the things that was brought out, and I'll reiterate from a traffic management or traffic model perspective, is that the setup time for the events is currently not defined or specified. And one of the concerns we had was, okay, you got a 4-day event. If you have 2 or 3 weeks in advance, there's traffic coming in and out, people are not going to stop at the site. Yeah, they're going to want to go out and go shopping to Long Neck or someplace like that, so you're going to have that travel. And what happens to the people that have RVs or camping-type vehicles if they want to stay for 2 or 3 events in a row? I don't know how they're going to be scheduled, but in theory, the way it's written now with no boundary on the setup time, you could literally have 5 events over 5 months and have a vehicle staying in there for those 5 months. I mean, because there's no boundary, there's no specification. And I would imagine a lot of people would want to leave their camping device down there and drive down. So it's going to be there, and they may be within that 5 or 6 month period almost living there full time. The other concern we had is about the vehicles per day. That's been addressed somewhat. Firefly has grown from 36 to 80,000 vehicles. So we want to make sure that that is taken into consideration also. Now, when it gets to the comprehensive plan, we keep mentioning that because I was pleasantly surprised when I did the research. Sussex County has a very nice comprehensive plan. And right now, it just looks like this venue is not in sync with that comprehensive plan in 3 areas. The first one, it says, local roads carry the lowest volume of traffic and relatively short length trips. You were just out there driving today. These are all local roads. Every one of the 4 boundary roads, which are Avalon, Lawson, Johnson, and Hollyville, are local roads. They're designed for the lowest amount of traffic there is. And the second thing we found in the comprehensive plan is that conflicts with local traffic often occur, especially with farm equipment on rural roads. Right now, it happened to me twice the last week. I had to pull over. If I was driving a large RV, I wouldn't be able to pull over, and the farm vehicle would be blocked. So that's another thing. I don't know how you plan for that if you can't pass each other. The third thing is that the comprehensive plan states is that the focus of retail and offices used in low-density areas should be providing convenience goods and services for nearby residences. Well, this obviously, you know, we have people from Avalon, Independence. It's not providing us convenience services. It just doesn't seem to match what the plan does. And right now, it doesn't look like the application is in sync with the comprehensive plan. And that's something I'd be, you know, really interested in hearing, you know, your viewpoint on. If you go to the matrix that I have on page 3 and look at that, this sort of summarizes our feelings about traffic. On the left is the road. There are basically 4 boundary roads, and of course in that nice map that was passed out, you see the 4 roads. All 4 roads are classified in the comprehensive plan as local. They're made for local services. They're not made for large commercial venues as is being proposed by the applicant. If you look at the next figure there, the del dot VDP, that's the current vehicles per day on these roads. And right now, we were just doing a survey yesterday of the roads, and you could see on Hollyville you have more traffic, so this looks like it's pretty well in sync. One of the things that is missing, and it was defined a little bit more today, is how many estimated vehicles per day are going to be coming on this. I did this earlier, and I have question marks, but it's going to be 5,000-10,000 vehicles potentially. And the other thing is the roads have two lanes, and the width is only 20 to 22 feet. You're not going to get two large trucks passing by on the roads. And the key thing, too, is there's no shoulders. Not one of those roads have a shoulder where a vehicle could pull over in case of an accident, or let's say somebody, for heaven's sakes, drives off of the road. I mean, you're stuck, and you're going to have a big traffic jam there. One of the things that is pointed out, you know, we talked about Punkin-Chunkin, Harrington, and Firefly. I also researched that. What is the big difference between those and this? I mean, there's really one big difference. Punkin-Chunkin and Harrington are off of Route 13. You have a four-lane highway, and you've got huge shoulders. I guess Firefly is on Route 1. I think it's a six-lane highway. You've got huge shoulders. You have a road that is capable of supporting a large event. What do we have on this proposed event? We have Avalon, Lawson, Johnson, Hollyville. And if you looked at Lawson, it's got that tar and pitch type of thing where the road's almost falling apart. I mean, this is not the type of roads that are equivalent to the other roads where they have these large festivals. So in summary, based on that, we have four related traffic conditions we would like included in the permit. The first one is, and it's come up already, limit the number of attendees and vehicles per day based on recommendations, perhaps from DelDOT or whatever. I mean, this thing can grow from 25 up to maybe a Firefly, 80,000. And unless that's limited at the beginning, it's out of your hands, it's out of our hands. And I think that's something that really has to be considered and put in. The other thing is to make the applicant responsible for all costs and related improvements recommended by DelDOT. I'm sure there's going to be some of those, especially on Lawson Road, which is a very fragile road. And then the third thing when it comes to traffic, the residents of Avalon Woods are worried about people parking in their development. It's a one-way street. In fact, if you look at the map that was passed out by the other group, you can see that Avalon Woods is 540 feet from one of the main entrances. I mean, just imagine waking up someday and having 4,000 or 5,000 vehicles parked outside your entrance. You're going to be gridlocked for sure. And then the last thing we were pointing out is that we recommend a condition where each of the five proposed events has some limitation when it comes to setup time. I mean, unless you do that, this could become a full-time city throughout the summer. I mean, because you could say, well, setup time's 30 days, and people park their RVs or campers in there. And in summary, the residents also recommend that the applicant be required to pay to provide $10 million bonds insurance for each of the four conditions to protect the residents and to provide direct and consequential damages to ensure the conditions are achieved. I think it's one thing to say you're keeping it at 25,000, but once it gets passed, who's to say that it's not going to go to 50,000 and what happens to the residences? So that's my overview.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you very much. And who's next? Okay, yes, sir. Okay, if you would, give them.
My name's Tim Ryle, and I'm a real estate broker with approximately 25 years experience in real estate, current vice chair and past chair of the Delaware Real Estate Commission Education Committee, and first vice president of the Sussex County Board of Realtors. I'm also a member of the board of directors for Woodhaven Farms, which is a rural community subdivision located on Hollyville Road, which consists of approximately 100 residents and is situated within a few hundred feet of the proposed facility. I also reside, along with my wife and seven children, at 23038 Lawson Road, which is across from the proposed recreation facility. When this application became public, I was asked in a professional capacity if it were possible to calculate the depreciation on a property of something of this magnitude or were to be approved. My response to this question was no. Typically, one would obtain a current certified appraisal, and once such an operation was established, obtain another certified appraisal to determine the positive or negative financial impact on the resident property. For example, homeowners engaged me to sell their property located on Park Avenue outside of Georgetown. It was priced at an average market rate. Soon after that time, the airport was securing land to expand. The homeowner received an offer from officials, but the amount was far short of the marketing price. An independent certified appraisal was completed, and it was found that the then current market value supported the list price. Subsequently, the property was purchased for the satisfactory appraised amount. In that case, land acquisition and the change of use was for the greater public good. This does not appear to be the case with this application, as it is solely a for-profit enterprise for private individuals. Unfortunately, with this scenario, the determinable amount and decrease in property value would not be realized until after establishment of use. With the steady growth that has occurred within Sussex County during the past 12 years, one can readily envision the blighting impact or burden that this change of use would foist upon the neighboring properties and their respective residents. Most of the properties that this type of enterprise would affect are, in fact, already restricted in their use via zoning regulations or indeed restrictions that were placed in the deed when parceled out. There are a myriad of restrictions found in these deeds, many of which are more frequently seen than others. A few examples are fences permitted or not permitted, if so, possible height requirements, number of pets are limited, types of pet allowable, livestock permitted, not permitted, or limited number of specific animals, or a limitation on specific animals. No clotheslines, no mobile homes, no vehicles with expired tags, and in most all cases, no commercial activity. By default, the current zoning of the acreage in question prohibits the use of the landowners in this area from operating a commercial business activity. It is one thing to have Mr. Smith at 123 Johnson Road to apply for a change of use because he has an economic hardship and requests the quiet use to engage in an activity that provides for his family's needs, and quite another to consider a request of this magnitude, which when making a list of pros and cons has no pros or benefits to anyone currently residing in the area. It not only does not benefit residents, but is an infringement placed upon such a resident. In conclusion, I'd like to mention the bundle of rights. One of the first definitions that a pre-licensee or law school attendee in the scope of real estate learns is the bundle of rights. What it entails, along with its importance to a purchaser and the subsequent owner of real estate. The bundle of rights is the right to own real estate and carries with it a traditional bundle of legal rights transferred with the property from the seller to the buyer. These are recognized rights of the holder of title to the property and include the right of possession, which is the property is owned by whomever holds title, the right of control, within the laws the owner controls the use of the property, the right of exclusion, others can be excluded from using or entering the property, the right of enjoyment, which the owner can enjoy the use of the property in any legal manner, and the right of disposition, where the title holder can sell, rent, or transfer ownership or use of the property at will. Therefore, on behalf of myself and my family, I'm requesting that the application for this change of use be denied and that the inherent and fundamental right to enjoy our property be protected by your governing body. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Beverly Morgan, and I'm just a resident of Independence. I came here from Pennsylvania to have my little quiet retirement home. We built a lovely home in a lovely area. I understand it was farmland, and I'm sorry we lost that farmland, but I see it happening all around us. And I would just like to say that we came here for the quiet. We could have lived in Rehoboth. We didn't want to. It was a little loud. We didn't want to be in Lewis. We came away from the noise so that we would have that quiet. I don't envy anyone having their American dream, especially someone as successful as this producer who has founded a bank, has a wonderful production company, wants to do something more for country music and hold it up as American icon, which in a way it is, but it's actually jazz that started American music. However, I don't want to see it in my backyard, and I don't want to hear it through my windows. And I would. I'm a musician. I'm a fine musician. But I don't sit out back and sing Maria Callas's arias so that the entire community can hear me. They don't care. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it 8 times a year. And how about the charitable ventures? Everybody has their right to have a charitable venture. We do know the man is going to make a profit, and that's his right. But take it, please, to a place that can control it. Take it to the fairgrounds. Take it to a place that is already established. Don't invade our private areas, lives, investment. And I want to say something about the idea of having that farm being sold to 3,000 houses. When we come here and we relocate, we bring our lives, our family, our investments. We don't just bring ours, we bring our families here. They come into the hotels, they go to restaurants, they increase the economy. Farms all over this area are being sold and being built upon. And traffic is a problem and it's continuing. But that one farm is not going to make a difference. It's going to increase, as everything else is, the traffic problems that we have. I just don't want to see that music coming into our lives unnecessarily. That's not what we came here for. It should go somewhere else. And I think, as people who you live here, would you like to see this in your backyard? Is it worth the money to have that happen? I hope not. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Who's next? Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
We will do a show of hands also.
Yeah, we'll make it count when everybody's done.
Hi, I guess you think I'm familiar, and I am. Well, I don't have a lot of education.
You still have to tell us who you are. Because
I'm Margaret Folk, and I live on Martin's Farm Road, 27331, and I'm in the general area. I'm not right next door to it, but I have learned a lot from going through this before, and my main concern about this is the ambiguity of it. He says, possibly 2 weeks before, possibly 2 weeks after. To me, that's a month for one thing. That's a month that these people have to put up with trucks. I have another concern. What about the job Johnnies? 50 campers per acre. The residency requirements of AR1 is AR1, one residence per acre. This is incredible. Are they going to remove all the job Johnnies? Are there going to be some there for the people cleaning up? What, everybody drives past and green job Johnnies, yellow job Johnnies all over the place? That's not what Sussex County is supposed to look like, not the farmland. And my biggest concern, and I hope these people behind me are listening, enforcement. Because all these conditions you put out, all these exceptions, they don't get enforced. I know that from experience. They do not get enforced. When that person who you give the CU with conditions or deny the CU with exceptions, they oversee them all the time. They overgo what they're allowed. there's problems, and who do you call? We write letters, we make phone calls, we don't even get a response. We don't get a letter back to our complaints. So when these residences behind me and these people who live in them, when they have a complaint and they write that letter, don't expect a response. That's the problem. When you give these CUs out, you lose control right then and there. That's not something you should do to these residents. It's been held in court, in the Supreme Court, in Green versus Sussex County. And that's a pretty recent case. You have to consider the people around the area, not just the one person who's going to benefit. Because this should go to the Supreme Court if this is allowed. And so I feel it shouldn't be allowed.
All right, then. Thank you. All the way in the back here in the purple shirt, and then over here, you'll be next, okay? And then there was somebody over here with a hand, and you'll be third, okay? There we go. Line up, guys. Okay, you're next.
Hi. I'm Stan Schulteis. I also live in Independence. And I didn't have a pen, so I couldn't write down my comments, but if memory serves, there's some inconsistencies that I see in the application of the handout versus what I've been hearing from the applicant. One of which I kept hearing was this country western family affair, but the handout was very unambiguous. It said only one of the two events will be a country western family affair, which I just on the just hearing that makes me laugh. I've been to some concerts and I wouldn't call them family affairs necessarily, but what's the other affair going to be? Is it Nirvana or, you know, who knows? It could be anything, evidently, but it was very unambiguous. It said only one of the two. The other thing was in the beginning of the hearing, we heard about how it's going to be one, the vehicle would go in once and it would leave once. And that's what he was looking for. He didn't want anybody coming in for a temporary type basis. But then later on during the questioning part of the hearing, I heard about all the economic benefit to the area, such as hotels. Well, it seems to me most of the hotels are pretty full already in August. They don't need this affair. And shuttle buses and restaurants, but in the written handout, it said that they're going to minimize the traffic going in and out because they're going to provide food, beverages, and so forth on the site. So where's all these restaurant goers? Where are they going and all of that? It just seems there's a lot of inconsistencies here, and I think we need to clear that up before we even consider it. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Okay.
Yes, sir. You're up. You, yes.
Thank you very much.
Come on down. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
Thank you very much.
Sir.
I'm Richard Coyne, 23717 Samuel Adams Circle in Independence.
Okay.
I had no idea how evil we were until I came here tonight. I will try to be very brief. I have Mr. Simone spoke to environmental conditions and perhaps impacts. Mm-hmm. I understand that the ingress and egress roads are currently dirt and are likely to stay that way through the woods as well as in the open fields. My concern, if that is the case, if I'm correct, is that the amount of traffic then on those dirt roads several times a year will lead to further degradation of those roads, erosion, runoff, and the impact on water quality. Conversely, if they were to be paved, there would be an equally degrading factor of runoff from an impervious surface. So as Mr. Schulteis mentioned, I too see a bit of an inconsistency. So if you'll keep that in mind, I'd be most grateful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, where's our next one? We had one over here that we said was next. Is that you? Yeah, come on.
Okay, while he's making his way up, who wants to be next? Okay, you'll go next, and then you'll be third. Okay, go ahead.
My name is Peter Zoll. I'm also one of the evil residents of...
Okay, we're going to stop right here. What is this evil part? I must have missed that. When did you guys
there
get to be evil?
There were some denigrating remarks made earlier in the evening about independence as a community. And we take that a bit personally.
I don't know that anybody made any denigrating remarks. There wasn't something.
I retract my statement.
No. Listen, you're privileged to say whatever you want to say. I was just puzzled because I wasn't getting the reference. That's all.
I'm sorry.
I understand. You've explained it, and that's fine. And we'll let you proceed.
My background, among other things, is also as a transport.
Your name again, well, could you give us your name one more time?
The name is Peter Zoll, Z-O-L-L.
Thank you. Okay.
Part of my background is in transport economics, and that was dealt by a namesake of mine earlier, so I won't go through that. But I did want to say, hey, this is my first hearing like this, and I wanted to congratulate the board on how it's been carried out. I did find one thing rather odd, and that is a vote of hands was taken immediately before the people that were bussed in and had to be bussed out again, whereas the rest of us have been patient enough here to hear both sides of the argument. That's an aside.
Let me assure you that the show of hands is simply so people who didn't speak could get on the record in some way.
I understand.
It really isn't...
I understand that, but there have been a lot of people that after 3 hours have also have had to leave for one reason or another. And of course, their show of hands will not be
registered. We'll take that under consideration.
But one of the things that we talked a lot about the type of vehicle, traffic and so forth, and the pressure on the roads, but one thing that hasn't come out is that Hollyville is a 50-mile-an-hour road. For anybody that drives consistently from our community into Millsboro, that crossing from Harmon Hill onto Zoar can be pretty dangerous. Basically, you have a stop sign, and you've got a 50-mile-an-hour road that has all sorts of traffic on it. Now, the main entrance into the proposed recreation area is on Hollyville. So you're going to have large vehicles, RecVs, trailers being pulled by other trucks and so forth, turning onto a dirt road off of a 50-mile-an-hour road. You're asking right away for a major problem. I mean, that would require normally a turning lane, at least one turning lane, major expansion of the road. If that's not done, you can have some pretty nasty consequences. And the same thing off of Avalon. Some of us remember when Zoar was closed for a short period of time because a culvert broke, and what that did to traffic in the area, and how that got tied up going through Avalon. You can imagine if you have just one vehicle broken down anywhere on any one of those three roads, what that's going to do for the backing up of traffic behind it. And we're talking not just about those 5,000 vehicles, those 5,000 campers that are going into this site, of course, spread out over several days, which seems highly unlikely. But you're talking about 2 weeks of prep time beforehand with trucks coming in and going out. You're talking about 2 weeks of breakdown afterwards. So far, we've gotten into 2, 4, 5. That's 10 weeks just for those two events, let alone the other events that may or may not take place there, charitable as well as the other one-day events. You're going to have a lot of traffic turning off of a very high-speed road into a dirt road. You're going to have to improve that Hollyville Road intersection. That should be taken into consideration before you give approval to this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, who was number two? Here we go.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
My name is Steve Friend. I'm a native of Delaware. I was born and raised in Lewis, and I'm 63 years old now. And I moved from Lewis, outside of Lewis. Now I've moved to Avalon Road for quietness. And, I mean, I love music, but to have it there where we're at is just, it's just totally wrong. You know, like you said, he's going to have it over to Harrington. Have it to Harrington. He's still going to make his money. You know, I'm not against a man making some money, but to have it where we're at, I just can't see it. I'm sorry. I mean, I love, believe me, I'm like anybody else. I go to concert and anything else, I love it. But to have it on our roads, and it's nothing but tar and chip, that's all it is. They just got done tar and chipping Lawson Road there itself. And just look at it. It's all falling apart. I mean, it's just not built for it, you know. So that's all I have to say, and thank you very much.
All right, sir, we thank you. All right, sir, you're next. As this gentleman's approaching the podium, does anybody else want to speak? Anybody else going to want to speak? Okay, I'm going to take you, and sir, right here, and you. Now, I want to caution you, we're getting to the point where we're getting a bit repetitive, okay? So I'm going to ask you to think about what you're saying. If you have something new to say, I will be more than happy to have you come up, but just keep that in mind. All right, sir, go ahead. And then you two guys will be next, and then we'll see who else. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wheatley and gentlemen. I'm not going to repeat what's in the letter I've already sent and that's in the file.
Okay.
There are just three things which concern me.
Just real quick, if we could get your name and address.
Oh, I'm sorry. I went too fast. Okay. My name is Evan Bush.
You said addressed. Mr. Wheatley. I thought you were, okay. You were talking to me. Right.
We are not cousins. Let's establish that.
Yeah, it's getting late. Anyway, go ahead.
I live at 27175 Avalon Road. Okay. I heard a lot here tonight, and a lot more flesh has been put on this proposal than when I looked at it 2 days ago and wrote my letter. But I still feel a lot of ambiguity, and I probably don't understand the process, but I understand you can go from a preliminary site plan to a final site plan without any further public hearings. I'm worried about that.
Okay.
Secondly, there are a couple of statistics that I can't get my hands around. There is a mention that this property could be developed to 2,000 residences. That is 500 acres and sounds like a quarter of an acre to me. I'll mention it and move on. The other is when I looked at some of the peak traffic at Firefly, they were processing one car every 8 minutes. That means 10 cars, 80 minutes, which sounds a little bit less than I've heard earlier this evening. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, sir, we thank you. All right, where are my other two guys? Here we go, come on.
Good evening, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I did not provide any prepared statements. My name is Nathan Wise.
Good.
I'm a resident of the Independence community.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into a lot of qualifications, but to give some perspective to some of my comments, a large portion of my life, I maintained a home in Center County, State College, Pennsylvania, the home of the Pennsylvania State University. The reason I'm bringing that up is that some of my observations relate to large events that you see going on in such a locale. Certainly this will not bring the volume of people to the location as a large football game. But some of the observations I've made with regard to not just football games, but also entertainment events and other, let's say, media exhibitions brought in of about the scale that are being discussed here. These events bring not only the number of attendees that are expected. In addition, of course, we've got all the support and ancillary personnel and equipment and traffic and volume. They also bring a large number of individuals who are just attracted by the fact that there is a great deal of activity and that there is an event and other ancillary activities. So it is not unusual to observe, at least in the environments that I've seen, especially where you may have more open spaces involved, a significant number of additional people and vehicles coming into the area and aggravating the congestion and the problems that a community may have to deal with in terms of providing services, traffic control, et cetera. Beyond that, and not wanting to repeat what many others have said, I'd like to distill some of the concerns that I think myself and other residents have that relate to this ongoing discussion of concerns over traffic and congestion and the nature of those roads and what they're used for and what capacities they have. And that could be distilled down into concerns over, maybe generalized, call it health and safety, the provisions of emergency services, both to the people who are in the event confines and who may be provided for, let's say there was an emergency there, if not by emergency vehicles having to come out, which would be a problem. Maybe they're provided for by helicopters. I don't know. But certainly for those residents who some of the local emergency services may be relocated to be within the facility to provide services there, how do they get out? If there is demand for services for residents, whether they have to come out of there or from some other location, with the traffic loads that cover those roads, what impact will that make? Since those roads may not be very passable, given the volumes and the sizes of equipment that will be there. Delays of that sort, when you're talking about paramedics, ambulances, and such, can often be the matter in the extreme, of course, life and death. We would hope that wouldn't be the case. But I feel that we have to express our concerns over that kind of impact over those areas of the county that are somewhat rural and where the means of access are by these limited road networks. And I would hope that you would seriously take into consideration both the impact of that and the liabilities upon all the people involved as a result of this. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, sir. Okay, whoever was next, come on up. Give us something different.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm sure you're all tired. My name is Richard Bellotti, and I live on Lawson Road.
Okay.
I would like to know, have any of you know how much money will come into the community? Has a study been done or anything, or you have no idea?
Well, I think it's been testified to.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, really this is a land use application. So, you know, the amount of money that would come into the community, that's certainly something that's always presented. But ultimately, what needs to be decided is whether it complies with the zoning code and it's an appropriate land use decision to grant the conditional use.
It seems like me, only a few individuals will make most of the money. But this is a lot of disaster to cause for just a few people to make a lot of money to the community. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. All right, sir, come on up with a red sleeve there in the back. Tell us something we haven't heard before. Or at least maybe in a different language or something.
My name's Bill Ryan, and I live in Independence, 23758 Samuel Adams Circle.
Okay.
I returned to Delaware in 2010 after a 40-year hiatus. I was born and raised.
Did you get lost or what?
No, I worked for a corporation for many years, and okay. I managed in excess of $120 million in revenue during my career, for the last few years anyway. And one of the questions I heard tonight, I think it was tonight, maybe it was last night, I'm not sure, it's been a long night, that what exactly is the county going to benefit from this project? One of you gentlemen asked that question. I'm not sure which one. And I thought to myself, you know, if I were putting together a return on investment here, I would say, well, we're going to have to widen the roads probably. We're going to have to go to four lanes. There's no way around that. Where you're going to, no need to send in an ambulance. You might as well send them a funeral car with a heart attack because you're going to have backups out there. And I guess the other thing, too, when I turned to Dewey, and I spent months in Dewey. My grandmother had a restaurant and seven apartments I used to come in Rehoboth and work for as a kid. And Dewey was a resort town, a lot of fun, but it got too noisy. Didn't they pass a decibel rating in Dewey where they had to keep the noise down. I don't know whether B&G was involved in that or not, but certainly there's noise coming from a bar. But after a certain time, do we have anything about requirements for noise?
Sussex County doesn't have a noise ordinance. It defers to the state code on that. Yeah. So.
Well, this is what we hear in the dependents. Nothing this time of night. It's nice and quiet. We hear the bugs occasionally. But what I'd say is that the only benefit I can see in revenue from this whole proposal would be to the person requesting, or the applicant requesting the approval. I think it's going to cost the county money, and I would certainly hope that you fellows take that in consideration. And lastly, I'd like to thank you for your service to the county.
Thank you.
And it's been a long night. You've been very patient. Thank you.
Thank you, and so have you. So have all of you. Okay, who's next? Okay. Do we have something? Anybody? Anything different? Okay, let's count some hands now. Let's say everybody who is opposed, one hand in the air, please. Give our counters plenty of time. They might have to take their shoes off and socks. And... Sure. I think so. Yeah.
Well, we are from Sussex County.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I missed all that.
Did you get on the side?
Yeah,
same thing.
It's your dead heat.
Was the gentleman in the blue shirt, did you have your hand up around the corner? Okay, I didn't see it when I counted. Thanks, that's good. We both had 79.
79,
yeah.
Okay. All right then, there being no further testimony.
It was 79.
79 was the count. I would just caution you to not place too much emphasis on that. The numbers are what they are. The decision, as our council was advising, is really that it's our job to weigh this application against the planning and zoning ordinance and make a determination whether or not it's an appropriate land use. It really has nothing to do with anybody making money, losing money, or with anybody's money. As far as we're concerned, the five commissioners up here. So we always get that testimony. It seems like folks want to tell us that. That's great. But it's really all about the ordinance. So that's what we'll be evaluating. Sir, we're done. I think you've been here once. You've been up here once, right? One trip to a customer. Okay. All right. Since you've managed to slip that in. July 22nd is when this will be in front of county council. They will have their public hearing. I will tell you that the applicant has the right to change his whole presentation if he wants to. I would encourage you to be there and be represented. And I believe that will probably be at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Right. The agendas are on the website, which again is sussexcountyde.gov.
Okay. You have a question? Okay. All right. Hold on, Mr. Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Hold on a minute. We haven't closed yet. We haven't closed the public hearing yet. We have a question. Mr. Ross has a question for...
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to make a short statement that I normally would reserve for commission discussion, but since the applicant is still firmly seated in his chair and members of the public are here, I just wanted to state for the record that for an attorney that prides himself on liking regulation, I guess I'm a little disappointed in actually conforming to the process that we have here. This is a land use discussion and decision. And in our code, we're required to have a preliminary site plan. It's not set in stone. It's something that depicts a lot of things about an application for a conditional use, and it's a requirement. It depicts, for example, you want RV campsites. It depicts generally how those RV campsites might be laid out, whether they conform with buffers and code, and that sort of thing. It would have a diagram of planned, not set in stone, traffic diagrams, stormwater management, where sales or ticket collection sites would be located, RV staging areas, wetlands locations or determinations, et cetera, all in the preliminary site plan, Mr. Perez. The site plan that we have before us, you know, I'm still formulating my opinion. I haven't decided, but in looking at it, it's at best minimal. It's also the responsibility of the applicant to create the record as far as the conformance to the comprehensive plan, in coupled with the supporting ordinances in Chapter 115. It's not incumbent upon the applicant to necessarily sell us the business plan and that sort of thing. Ours is a land use decision. And so, to me, sitting at the table and why I wanted to listen as I looked at the information provided to us prior to and during the meeting and listening to the public's comments, I can understand why the public thinks it's ambiguous. And that is because it is ambiguous. And so I guess what I'm saying to everybody in the room, those supporters that left, I'm sure will get the message in some way, is that on July the 22nd, everybody gets another swing. But I think a more complete swing is necessary.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Ross. I'm sorry, sir. We're done. We're done with public testimony.
Just one quick question.
Make it quick.
Is the record closed at this point, or maybe we make comments?
The record for this hearing will be closed as soon as that gavel falls and I say that that this hearing is concluded. This record is closed. Another record will be created for the county council hearing. And you can put things in that file right now. That file is open and available for you. If you want to put something on that record, you can do that at any time by just submitting it to the office, asking it to have it put in the file. Okay, so that record is still there, but this record will be closed in a matter of 15 or 20 seconds. But I want to share with you one other thing before we close the public hearing. When I tap this hammer, you're going to want to get up and start talking, okay? Because it's human nature. What we need you to do is to get up and get out of this room just as fast as you can without saying anything, because we have more business to transact, believe it or not.
You can stay if you want. He's
you
not
can
running
stay.
Out.
Oh yeah. Oh, by all means, you're cordially invited to spend the entire evening with us. We would be delighted to have you. Okay, but I rather suspect you'd like to go. You've been incredibly patient and remarkably well behaved. We thank you for coming this evening. This public hearing is concluded. Gentlemen.